Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com.
Have you read the book, The Everything Store, Jeff Bezos and the Age of Amazon yet? It is a fascinating expose of sorts written by Brad Stone, who is a senior writer for Bloomberg Businessweek. I am a faithful reader of Brad's articles on companies such as Apple, Google, and Yahoo, and so I really ate up this new book on Amazon. And now I've invited him to join me today for a conversation about it. So welcome, Brad.
Thank you, Denise.
So why did you write this book?
I have been covering Silicon Valley and the technology companies changing our world for more than a decade. And in that time, I have seen and read many books on Google and Facebook and Apple. And I've really always felt that there was never a great account of Amazon's rise. And, you know, this is a company that arguably has changed the way that we read, the way that people shop, the way technology companies are formed on Amazon's cloud computing infrastructure. You know, Jeff Bezos, Amazon's founder, is a incredible leader, a visionary, but secretive. You know, doesn't talk to the press a lot. Doesn't tell the Amazon story in depth, and I think that's very purposeful. He prefers to talk to his customers, but you know, for me, I thought there was a great opportunity in the untold story of one of the technology icons of our time.
Certainly, and I know that a lot of people appreciated you kind of pulling back the curtain. So one of the things I wanted to ask you is, as you researched and wrote the book, what was something or maybe a couple things that really surprised you the most, either about Bezos or about Amazon?
You know, I guess the risk-taking that has occurred at the company from its very earliest days was surprising. You know, we kind of think of, as customers of Amazon, this company is kind of soldiered along, you know, introducing some new product categories, you know, but basically kind of doing a great job at customer service and succeeding, you know, because of that. Well, really, you know, as I talked to hundreds of you know, current and former employees, what struck me is how restless Bezos and the other top Amazon executives have been in terms of kind of expanding the business, pushing more chips onto the table, raising more money at every possible opportunity, expanding fulfillment centers, getting into businesses like the Kindle, you know, the hardware business or the cloud business, when really there was not many obvious reasons for them to do that. So I think the risk-taking, the betting on the company over and over was a big surprise. And then maybe, you know, on the flip side, how tough Jeff Bezos could be. You know, he presents a sort of friendly, jovial, you know, public figure. But in talking to everyone, you know, at Amazon, it's a hard culture. You know, they're working a lot. It's not a great work-life balance. I think turnover is higher than other technology companies, and it starts with Jeff, who has really set some very high standards for his employees.
Tell us what you learned about how the name Amazon was selected for the company. I thought that was a very interesting part of the book.
Right, that was fun. I knew from talking to some of the early folks that they were on a sort of mission early on. This is back in 1994, you know, the very earliest days of the internet, to find out, you know, to name the company. And it's part of Amazon history that Kadabra was the original company name. Well, I went into the internet database to find out, well, what other names were registered to that original address, the Bezos address in Bellevue, Washington. You know, so what other URL did he experiment with? And there were a whole bunch of them, from, you know, bookmall.com was one that they had registered, ard.com, because, you know, AARD, because he wanted to be at the top of the phone book, because it was unclear how people were going to find websites. But the best one was relentless.com, not only because it kind of still characterizes, you know, the company, its relentlessness, but because Bezos has held on to that URL ever since. And if you type relentless.com into your web browser, it'll still take you to Amazon. So that was a I felt like that was a little Easter egg, buried in Amazon history, that for 20 years they kept this name.
Absolutely, and it kind of makes you wonder what, if anything, they will ever do with it.
Yeah, right. Well, it's funny because sometimes these names do pop back up. So when Amazon was trying to name the service that became Mechanical Turk, This was the Amazon crowdsourcing service, they actually were thinking of naming it Kadabra, that first company name. So sometimes these things do come back. But, you know, I just think Relentless, he liked it, you know, because it really characterizes his approach to business, which is to keep innovating and trying to please customers and, you know, ultimately kind of taking market share from rivals as well.
Right. Now, there were several other stories and points in the book that were particularly interesting to me, given that my interest is in brands and brand building. And one of them is the Bezos Amazon.love memo, which was this internal memo in which Bezos laid out his vision for kind of how he wanted his company to conduct itself and be perceived. And in my world, I would call those Amazon's brand values. And apparently the memo makes contrasts like, you know, explorers are cool, conquerors are not cool. And so I'm curious, you know, why do you think Bezos wrote this memo? What do you think he was really trying to accomplish with it?
Sure. I think, to start off, every big company, particularly technology companies and retailers, you know, have a little bit of a problem when they get to scale. Particularly the big discount retailers get, you know, perceived as disruptors, putting the sympathetic mom and pops out of business. We see it now with Walmart and even with Google, companies like Google. You know, this is what success looks like. There are critics out there. And I think he was putting pen to paper to think about, you know, when Amazon gets to 100 or 200 billion in sales, how can they, you know, have a company and a brand that they're proud of? Mm-hmm. And so in this memo, which, of course, you know, was internal, but I was able to obtain it, he's kind of thinking out loud and talking about what the brand values are that help scale companies, you know, be kind of loved and not feared. Mm-hmm. And what he sort of concludes, and I thought it's interesting, and when you read that memo, it kind of illuminates a lot of how he talks in public. What he concluded was that as long as you're kind of seen as innovating and inventing on behalf of customers, that you tend to like your brand is more admired, and some of the rougher edges or your impact on the community or on competitors can be overlooked. And so when you see Jeff Bezos on 60 Minutes or doing interviews for the Kindle Fire, you know, he's always trying to communicate that brand value that Amazon is a company that likes to invent. Mm-hmm. And it's true, but it's also incredibly strategic because, as we know, you know, with big retailers and with Amazon, it's like, you know, success and size breeds all sorts of uncomfortable realities, you know, from putting the small guys out of business to, you know, employing tens of thousands of low-wage laborers in your fulfillment centers. So it's no surprise that he wants to cast attention to Amazon's inventiveness.
Right. And so do you think that list or, you know, in the memo captured how Amazon currently operates, or were they more aspirational? Because I think this is one of the issues that companies have is they might espouse certain values, but are they truly embracing and delivering them?
Right. I think it's partly aspirational. It's certainly true that, you know, Amazon, and you just follow that its daily pace of press releases, and you can be astounded by the pace of innovation there. But at the same time, in that memo, he says rudeness is not cool. Disrupting, you know, like sympathetic competitors is seen as not cool. And that's also part of the Amazon story, right? You talk to any third-party seller, who use the Amazon platform and then watch the company start selling the same products and kind of putting them out of business. Like, Amazon's a very self-interested company. You know, the interests there are its own future prospects and its customers. Mm-hmm. And when you're elsewhere, you know, when you're not in those two categories in the Amazon ecosystem, you tend to feel kind of bludgeoned by them. So I think they'd have that memo did have more to do with aspirational brand building than with the kind of reality of Amazon's business.
Yeah. All right. Last question. I think that you would have a really unique perspective on this. So, what do you think the future holds for Amazon?
Oh boy. you know, one of the reasons why I called the book The Everything Store was because that really is its future. I mean, when you watch the pace of expansion from new geographies to new kinds of hardware, they'll be coming out with a phone and a set-top box pretty soon. Mm-hmm. New product categories, you know, they're starting to sell high-end art, doubling down in apparel, mm-hmm. industrial supplies. So it's the everything store. I think the future is, you know, anything that you want, groceries, another big area of expansion, anywhere you want it. You know, mm-hmm. instantaneous delivery is possible. And, you know, I'm not an investor or an analyst, so I can't speak to the stock price. But, I think this company has solved better than anyone some of the basic challenges of e-commerce in terms of, you know, storing and shipping products. And that's an incredible kind of strategic advantage for them as they move into new categories. So, I think we're talking about a Walmart-sized company in 10 years, and I don't know if they'll be flying drones through the air, but certainly I think it's one of the tentpole companies of the 21st century.
Wow. Well, Brad, this conversation has been as interesting as your book, and so I want to tell my listeners to definitely check it out. The Everything Store is available on Amazon. Also, listeners, check out Brad's articles in Business Week. Also, check out his blog on his website. It's brad-stone.com. And also follow him on Twitter. His handle is @BradStone. Brad, thanks so much for speaking with me, and I look forward to reading more from you.
Thank you, Denise.
Talk to you soon.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care and thanks again.